Hi there, you're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, last week on A Little Alternative, I promised you more of the band Magic Mist. Well, we've got three quarters, or 75% if you want to look at it that way, of the band with me right now. Hello, Magic Mist.
Hello.
Hi, so first of all, can we get your name and the role in the musical force that is Magic Mist that you play?
So I'm Rosie and I play the drums and I shout and try to sing a little bit as well.
I'm Joel, I play guitar. I'm also the boss.
I'm Owen, I play keyboard and I shout as well. In the songs, not just in general.
So what are we like? This very shouty band.
It is, yeah.
Shouting is, yeah, high proportion of the content.
You guys have just released your debut single, Flare Path. Now, I believe that it was a very traumatic event that inspired this song. So can you tell us a bit about it?
I work at RNIB and it was, I work in the Judd Street office, and the song was inspired by the introduction of lockers to the office in Judd Street when we had to all get rid of our drawers under our desks. And it was probably a little bit more traumatic than it sounds like it would be.
But I believe you lost a stapler?
I think I lost some cereal bars and other snacks, which was like more traumatic.
Oh no.
But yeah, it was all a little bit confusing.
So more sonically, tell us about the song, because a lot of it is very instrumental based.
Yes, it is. Wanted to sort of change up what we were doing from before, so we wanted to sort of jam on songs a little bit more, and this song really doesn't have, or didn't have at the beginning, a rigid structure, so we didn't really know when we were changing it, so we just sort of took parts and took two distinct parts and played them for as long as we wanted to until it felt it was time to change, rather than the technique we were using before where we rigidly wrote parts that sagged into one another.
That's quite interesting, because like when I was at school studying music, we were always told like the first thing that you do is get a structure for it and then go from there, whereas you guys seem to have done the opposite.
Yeah, so I guess none of us really studied music, yeah. So we've just sort of made up how we make songs as well, and in our past bands we probably have approached it in a fairly unconventional way, and we've always approached making music together like really diplomatically and spontaneously, I would say. So it's always been about us being in a room together and like playing what makes us happy, rather than thinking almost, I mean, it's quite selfish when you think about it, because almost we haven't thought like, oh, we should structure it like this,
yeah,
so that the listener feels like familiar or comfortable in a way. We've just been like, we want to play this, so we will. So that's might be why it's a little bit, it has been unconventional in the past, but I feel like Flare Path is maybe a bit more conventional.
You mentioned they're uncomfortable, and that's a really difficult thing to do. Is, you know, as much as you want your listener to enjoy it, you kind of want them to feel a bit uncomfortable. It's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we've definitely used the word obnoxious before.
Yeah. I think a lot of the projects this is the third band the three of us have played in,
right,
together. Is it? Yes, it is the, yeah, third band. And one overarching aspect of what we do has always been trying to do things that are a little bit confrontational.
Yeah, and this feels like maybe the least confrontational music we've made, but
yeah.
I guess it comes from that place in a way. But yeah, we've made like 20-second songs that are purely screaming in the past. So Flare Path is like weirdly harmonious for us. You know, none of us were trained in music, and we just had the best time getting together this kind of random collection of people and playing together without judging each other at all. So, you know, we always say, like, don't be afraid of making music with other people. It can feel quite overwhelming sometimes, but if you find like other beginners to play with, then you really can have the best time. So I was really scared when I first joined our band, and yeah, I've just had the best time and got much better at the drums, even though it might not sound like it. So yeah, that tends to be our rallying cry, like, go out there and make a band.
Yeah, there will be people out there who want to play with you and or listen to you, and you shouldn't let the mean people you meet at the beginning discourage you from doing it. But I think with with the direction of this new band, we wanted to be more mappable, mm-hmm. be more listenable, and definitely have more time concentrating on playing the instruments.
Going back a bit, how did you guys all get started? You mentioned that you played in a couple of bands together, so how did you all get involved in making music?
I guess it's a bit of a chaotic mix, but Owen and Joel met online on MySpace.
Mm-hmm. Over the internet, so we corresponded making a record before we met each other in person.
Oh,
then
wow.
When Owen moved to London, a band that I was in had broken up, so I wanted to start a new band. So I recruited Rosie and Owen, essentially.
So yeah, it did feel like informal terms, like I was recruited because I was Joel's flatmate, and he sort of found out I'd played the drums at school when I was like 13,
right.
And been in a sort of teenage like new metal band, but not really played much since then.
Uh-huh.
And then he found out that I had played the drums and sort of forced me to play the drums in his new band, basically, by presenting me with a snare drum and a bass drum pedal. So yeah, it was like Joel assembling the different parts of the band. And then our friend Ollie was just like a friend of a friend.
Okay. This new project is a lot more streamlined and less obnoxious, as you put it. But how does it differ from stuff in the past, say like Giant Burger? How does it differ from that?
There's more mappable influences in Magic Mist. I think we're
okay.
going more for a sound that really can be considered post-punk and goth, and sort of like using parts that can be considered to be in a genre. Whereas with Giant Burger, we were really sort of being just aggressive in the most prolific way we could.
But also fun as well. And I feel like it's not that we're not having fun now, but I feel like we're a little bit more grown up because our lives changed quite a lot as well.
Yeah.
And almost we decided to make the new band Magic Mist because the kind of sound we were making with Giant Burger didn't almost suit us anymore, because we were a lot younger when we made Giant Burger and maybe a little bit more drunk and less responsible. And that was kind of reflected in the sound. Whereas now I feel like we're a little bit more mature and steady as people, and well, as you've heard, one of us has a child, so yeah, I feel we've evolved a little bit, and that is kind of reflected in Magic Mist as well.
Punky without being obnoxiously punky.
Yeah, it's sort of like serious.
Yeah, serious punk.
Person's punk music.
It's taken us a while to be comfortable with being serious.
It wasn't always easy.
Yeah. Rosie, you obviously do a lot of work for RNIB, and on RNIB Connect Radio, we do get a lot of input from people who are blind or partially sighted. You yourself aren't, but I believe that your mum and your gran are.
Yeah, my gran had macular degeneration. Sadly, my gran isn't with us anymore. But yeah, she had macular degeneration, and my mum does have it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think my mum is registered partially sighted yet, but she is progressively losing more of her sight.
Mm.
So yeah, that's my kind of family connection to it.
The post-punk community and the blind and partially sighted community, and you know, how important do you think that those groups are for spreading music?
I think our belief is that all subcultures and all mainstream cultures should be accessible to anyone who wants to access them. And
of course,
as a participant in any culture, whether it's a subculture or a mainstream culture, you should be doing your level best to make sure that the people who want to access something can access it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are lucky enough to not have a disability, then you should be making sure that you can do what you do to make a scene accessible.
For us, like, subcultures was an important part of all of our lives, music
uh-huh.
subcultures, growing up. And in a way, they were more inaccessible, and they were less diluted in a weird kind of way. So it's like you had to find the magazine or the friend that already knew about music in order to find out about it. But in a way, now I feel like there's almost so much information, it's now hard to find less mainstream things in a way, because there's so many things that aren't mainstream.
Uh-huh.
So this is a bit of a rant as well, but I definitely appreciate that Connect Radio has a target audience and an audience that really cares about audio as art form and a format. And well, it's just brilliant that you guys exist. So that's there we go.
We don't get asked to interview very often, and it's really, really, really a privilege to speak on this sort of channel.
It's a privilege to have you here as well. So what's next? You've got this single out. So what's the plan now that you've got your foot in the proverbial door?
We are working on a record right now. So we're working on an album. It's going to be 6 to 8 songs. And we're doing it ourselves for the first time. We've relied on other people to help us record throughout the whole history of playing music together. And I wanted particularly to produce something. So this is an experiment in us making our own record. And when that's done, I have no idea when that's going to be. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's work we're all happy to do. When that's done, we'll release that and then we will see what happens. And we're going to try and get a few more gigs. We're a little bit old now, so it's harder to get out.
But we're not that old.
We're still going to try to play live, but not as much. I mean, compared to some people's schedules that we know, our schedule was nothing. It was totally lightweight, but we can't be as hectic as we once were.
Yeah, we're taking quite a chilled approach, but definitely playing some live shows in London and maybe further afield as well. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but yeah, make more music live and in recorded format as well.
Brilliant. So where can listeners of A Little Alternative and anybody else that wants to, where can they keep up with all things Magic Mist?
At the moment, Flare Path and the B-side, yep, Tentacle Finger, are available on Oddbox Records. And we may or may not self-release this next record. We do have an Instagram account. We have an Instagram account. That's probably the best way to keep in touch with us. Okay. That's our most current media thing.
So, Magic Mist, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on A Little Alternative.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us, and thank you very much for playing us and for having us.
Yeah, just keep looking for weird music. Just keep amplifying voices that are less heard, and work as hard as you can to make every scene you're in accessible.
No bother at all, and I'm sure that any music that comes out in the future, whether it be self-produced or not, who knows, then we'll be playing that as well.
Thank you very much.
It's very kind. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.